All righty then. I'm excited to share this because I once again have started to read the Bible, starting from Genesis. I started in the New Testament, kind of going backwards with the books, but with the Old Testament, I'm going forward. So I've done all of the New Testament, and now I'm in the Old Testament. And I've read Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and now in Numbers. And I vowed that this time I would pay a little bit greater attention to what I call the law books, which in my definition, okay, is Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. However, the judgment section, as God calls it, actually starts in the latter part of Exodus from chapter 21 and on, and it continues with thou shalt and with thou shalt not and that sort of thing. So there are a lot of judgments, laws, if you will, in all of these books, and they can be numbing, no pun intended here, but it's super interesting. I strongly suggest a reread on those sections, but you know, starting kind of like maybe skimming through with chapter 21 and then going all the way through to Leviticus. Now, the title of my teaching is God's GPS. Oh. And let me anchor that title to something that you know or that you think you know. Now, we all know, and so this is a lot, I've given you a little bit of context from this teaching. We're going to stick in the Old Testament, and specifically we're going to Numbers. Again, it has to do with a lot of things. It's interesting to see what God thinks, what God directions are for us. So the GPS, God's, our GPS, right? God's GPS. So in Norman parlance, in today's parlance, we all know what a GPS is and what its function is. Most of us drive a car, and most of us now have the cell phone that has the GPS app, the Maps, Google Maps app, that funnels into a car screen, and you can punch in any address or even, what is it, dropping a pin, Joshua, we can do? Drop a pin if you have a smartphone that's not so smart sometimes, and it gives you the coordinates if you don't have an address. But we understand its function, and we understand that GPS, what a GPS is. We also understand on how to follow the rules when we see a signpost such as a traffic light. So the GPS is there to give us directions and guide us to where we should be or want to go. The latter, the signpost such as a traffic light, is there. Well, actually, it emits at measured intervals a simple green, yellow, or red light, each of which tells us what to do and when to do it. So the GPS gives us directions of where we should go, and then the traffic light tells us what to do and when to do it. And we do have, by the way, the freedom of will to choose to obey or not. Wink, wink. Now, because we're going to stay in the Old Testament, I want to be reminded that let us remember that these verses are here for our understanding. And we have to understand them within the right context, Old Testament. So, Romans 15:4 says that for the things that are written aforetime are there for our learning. Aforetime, the things before the age of grace, they're there for our learning. It's not, well, read them and forget about them, so to speak. We definitely can learn from it. And as I said, when I went through Leviticus, I saw a lot that has to do with how our legal system is written, the laws that we obey. And then here's the other thing, though. We must remember Proverbs 3:5, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Remember, we're talking about God's GPS. In all your ways, acknowledge him, God, and he, God, shall direct our path. So, my suggestion is, just to recap what I said so far, read Numbers, especially chapter 1 through 20, for a refresher of what God has to say about specific topics, which, by the way, are still being debated today in the moral, social, and political arenas. You'll be surprised on what God has to say on issues of marriage, sexuality, life choices, and that sort of thing. And he doesn't change. All right. Let's see. So a reread would be really good. Do keep in mind that we are in the age of grace, and that we are spiritually equipped to fight evil. Killing the flesh does not solve problems of dissension, as we, you know, have witnessed even in today's times. Ephesians 6:13 says that we wrestle not against, can you have my Bible, please? Against principalities and powers. I mean, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers from on high. So we know that, again, it's not the killing of the flesh. We are engaged in a spiritual battle. And seeing that we cannot punch or kick or, you know, spirit, you can't punch or kick it or anything like that, we have to use spiritual weapons. And in this verse in Ephesians 3, in Ephesians 5, 6 rather, let me get there real quick. Kind of going by memory, it's pretty much etched in me, but I don't want to misquote it. So Ephesians 6, 13 says, wherefore take unto you, so that we wrestle not against flesh or blood, right? But it's preceded by verses 10 and 11, where it says, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we, verse 12, wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. And then verse 13 also tells you what kind of tools God gives us, you know, putting all the whole armor of God, you know, you combat evilness with, well, God's word. I mean, even Jesus Christ always came back with, it is written, and he was able to silence his enemies just with the word of God. And we are to stand firm and without fear. So all this helps us to know more perfectly God's will as written in Numbers and putting it in the right context, and is there for us to extrapolate, you know, for our the learning. And where we're going to go, which is to Numbers, so you might as well go to Numbers chapter 9. It has to do with God giving clear direction and with us reciprocating with obedience. So the title was God's GPS, and most everybody knows that GPS in modern language is an app, and it stands for Global Positioning System. But in my teaching, the GPS stands for God's position statements. What is his position on certain topics? All right, so let's go to Numbers chapter 9, because it's a really, really good example the Israelites, they had left Egypt. God gave them a sign, you know. I mean, first of all, you know, most everybody knows about the parting of the sea. You know, God gave them directions on what to do, how to prepare for that Exodus. That's why it's called Exodus. And then they ended up in the desert, and also, well, they did some bad things and good things. You know, we know about the golden calf and all of that. But this here, where we're going to in Numbers chapter 9, they did good. And we are going to pick it up in verse 15, Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. Let's get there. Now, we were talking about directions and signposts. And so chapter 9, verse 15. So they're in the desert, and God told them, you know, to give them instructions to build a tabernacle. And so verse 15 says, and on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, was made, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and that at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So there's a sign there, a cloud, and then in the evening, something that looked like fire. So there's a signpost. Now in verse 17 it says, and when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. So if the cloud was lifted up, they were to pick up their stuff and keep on moving. And in the place where the cloud abode, and so they followed basically the cloud, right? I gave them directions on where to go. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. So God gave them a visual. It was sort of like your green light, red light game, except that it was not a game. They were in the desert and literally life and death situation there. But they followed that signpost. Let's see. So when the cloud was, wherever the cloud stopped, they stopped. Whenever it kept moving, they followed it. So that was pretty cool. Now, in verse 18 through 20, we know that God is here. Let's just read it, 18 through 20. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the command of the Lord, they pitched. So they journeyed, they moved, or at the commandment, they pitched, meaning they, you know, they put up their tents and stayed. As long as the cloud abode the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. Interesting here that when Moses was gone, this is came before, direct came before for 40 days and 40 nights, they ended up, making a golden calf and praying to that. But I think they kind of learned a little bit of a lesson here, because they didn't, there was no murmuring, no disputing, no like, why do we have to wait so long, you know? They followed, they did what God told them, you know, they followed the direction and the signpost that God gave them. And so it was that when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journey. So we see that, we're also going to see that in verse 21, hey, if it was a few days or short term, they stayed, if it was just for a day, that's how long they stayed. But here's kind of like a kicker in verse 21 and 22. And so it was when the cloud abode from even to the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. whether it was by day or by night, by the way, that the cloud was taking up the journey, or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents. Not meaning they never went out the tents, but they, you know, just stayed in one place and journeyed not until it was time to move. So, all right. So the point is that I think they learned a lesson from the golden calf days, at least at this point. But my point here is God's given us plenty of direction through his written word. He also talks to us privately, gives us, revelation about something, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or just inspiration for something, you know. And we would do well to listen and obey. And I'm going to give you a counter example to this as a reminder of what not to do. In Acts 5, 1 through 11, you can read it on your own, but there's the record of Ananias and Sapphira who, they were believers. They heard about, people, other believers giving of their substance to support the ministry and whatnot. But they thought that, and we know that we give, so it is in our heart, so shall we give. So let's not take it out of context. But what they did is they thought that they could finagle, cheat, and lie. You know, instead of just saying, hey, this is what I got, this is what I want to give you, and, And of course, they paid the consequences. Read the record, and you'll know what I'm talking about. And then in Acts 21, 4 and 10 to 20, maybe we should go there really quick. But it's about Paul. And Paul was told by two or three times, actually, not to go to Jerusalem. And he ends up by saying, what mean ye to weep and break my heart? I am ready to die. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. He totally, totally ignored God. And he not only ignored what God told him, told him, but when God sent several other people in his path, let's see, verse 21:4, it says, so he was journeying on his way. And verse 4, chapter 21 in Acts, and finding disciples, the writer of Acts is saying, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And then in verse 10 again, and then they moved on and they tarried many days with some other guys there, with a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bowed his own hands and said to Paul, thus said the Holy Ghost, thus said God, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him up into the hands of the Gentiles. Please don't go to Jerusalem. I'm adding to it, but that's the context. He did go to Jerusalem and then, had a thing be let down in a basket through the wall and whatnot. So let's not do that. Let's not be those guys. Also, let's not be the golden calf people. Let's not be Paul. Let's not be Sapphira and Ananias. And certainly we're not going to have a perfect walk. But let's keep our ears sharp. Let's keep God's position statement, GPS. Let's refresh our knowledge of what he has to say about things, because that is just, it's profitable and it's honorable. We honor God with our obedience, not just with our lips. So, and that's the conclusion of the whole matter as well. Trust in God and lean not unto your own understanding. Make decisions according to what God's word has to say about certain topics. Acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. We must recognize that El Shaddai, our Abba, is our five-star GPS app to follow to the letter and unquestionably for our profit and to his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for inspiring me and showing me so many wonderful things, even in the law books. And for broadening our understanding always. And thank you so much for loving us all the time and for your son's life given and resurrected. And in Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.